You've had the quarterbacks, you've had the running backs, you've had the wide receivers, and of course you've had the tight ends. Now it's time to dig a little bit deeper, find those league-winning players as we dive into some sleepers ahead of this year's rookie drafts. Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. That is right. It is the Sleeper Show. I'm back for, I think, year four of this show in a few different guises. I'm joined by, of course, the Fantasy Weatherman. You'll probably better know him as Matt, former co-host of the Fantasy Wildcard Show. Matt, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing really well. Thanks, Rich. As you mentioned, I think this could be my third or fourth time going on with you to talk sleepers. It's always one of my favourite shows because it feels like there's not too much pressure. Obviously, these are all guys that are going later on in your draft, so no one's really going to come after us if we miss on these guys. But when they do hit, and that's a little premise on what we did last year, Rich, because I think we had a pretty good run in last year, so there's actually a little bit of pressure on this year. So looking forward to it, and hopefully we can dig out another Puka Nacua like we did last year.
Yeah, well, there you go. You've nailed the lead there, haven't you? You know, I think you've had a pretty good track record over recent years. You nailed Michael Carter. You nailed Puka Nacua. I'm intrigued to find out who this year's Matt favourite is going to be. But we're going to dive straight into it. We'll start with some wide receivers. So we've got Malik Washington out of Virginia. Bit of an interesting career, obviously slightly undersized, 5'8", 194 pounds, but this last year, absolutely phenomenal. Over 130 targets, 1,300 yards. It's not very often you see a player with yards per route run over 3 and targets per route run over 30%. Are you a big Malik Washington fan?
I am. You just mentioned about who's my favourite out of these sleepers coming up into this year's draft, and we've started off with my favourite right at the very top, Malik Washington. He is a guy that I'm more than happy to keep banging the drum about. Obviously, I think when you look at the original stats and you look what he's done over his college career, it kind of didn't look too great at the start. He was over at Northwestern. Didn't really get going early on in his season, early on in his career, but then the transfer over to Virginia, that's where we've really seen that breakout performance this past year. But with that, that's obviously going to affect things like the breakout age. Obviously, didn't really do too much early on, but now starting to show up this past year gone by. And yeah, as I say, he's definitely a guy that I'm more than happy to get on board with this year, and where you can get him in your rookie drafts, I think it's going to be a great value. Looking forward to seeing where he lands, what kind of draft capital he gets. But as a prospect, love him. You mentioned the fact that he's kind of limited to that slot only role, and he obviously has played a large part of his career in the slot, but I think he has got that ability to play out wide. I know in his final year at Northwestern, 21% outside, so showing that he can do it. Might not always get that role, obviously with his size you feel like he's going to be nailed down to that slot role in the NFL, but I do think he's a little bit more than just that short yardage underneath kind of guy. But he does that brilliantly, so let's not knock the fact that he is great in the slot, doing those short routes. And what he does after the ball is what really gets me excited. A little bit like how we mentioned with Puka Nacua, obviously not comparable in the size, but I think in what they do with the ball in the hands is what gets me excited. It's the kind of prospect that I get really excited about when digging into these sleepers. So starts as a slot wide receiver, but when he's got the ball in his hands, he converts into a running back. The ability to make guys miss, led college football in missed tackles forced last year. The yard after the catch ability, the yards per out run, it's all up there with some of the best wide receivers in this upcoming class. So I'm really excited by him. I know there's knocks, obviously, with the size, as I mentioned, the late 8 breakout age, and the fact he's kind of limited to that slot role. But yeah, Rich, he's definitely a guy that I'm looking forward to see what he can do when he steps into the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's a really interesting prospect, isn't he? As you said, as soon as you see that size, people are going to throw out the slot-only comparison. I've got on the screen here, he's a question mark. I think he's probably going to start in the slot. I do wonder if he could maybe play that kind of Z, the flanker role. You know, could he be in that sort of Tankdale, Zay Flowers-esque, where, yeah, he's going to get 60% of his snaps out of the slot, but he can still go out wide and get options. But I think you hit the nail on the head. He's lightning quick, incredibly agile. If you know, if he is going to run out the slot and have that two-way go on corners, it's going to be really difficult to cover him. I think the other thing, he's got some of the best hands in this class. Like some of the catches he made, not just, you know, yeah, there were a few highlight grabs in there, but there were just consistent grabs away from his frame. You know, not a big guy with a big catch radius at 5'8", but his ability to contort his body and make those more challenging catches, I think makes him play bigger than his frame. So yeah, I'm really excited about him. I really like him. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what the NFL think of him, because as we said, he is a slightly older prospect at 23. There is that potential slot only question mark. If he's gets into day two, I'm going to be really excited to grab him in rookie drafts. If he does fall into that kind of day three range, it does start to worry me. And I think the NFL is kind of showing what we think of him as such. So yeah, the draft capital is going to be a big one for me with Malik Washington. I'm not so much concerned about landing spot, because I think he's going to have a he's a prototypical slot plus almost. Yeah. And I think that, let's be honest, any team in the league can probably do that. So yeah, I think landing spot less so, but draft capital is definitely a big thing for him. We're going to dive across now to some more players. But before we do that, we are closing in on 1,850 subscribers, as you can see on the screen. If you've not hit that subscribe button down below, it takes a second. It helps us out, and you make sure you get all of our content that is coming up into your feed. And of course, we've just announced our partnership with Underdog. Tom's going to be live streaming plenty of streams with the guys over at Underdog. Got some really exciting best ball content about to drop as soon as all the big contests kick off. So hit subscribe and make sure you're not missing out on that. We're going to move on to one of my slightly more favored prospects. It feels like there's an awful lot of hate on him, but there's some stuff there that I like. Devontae Walker out at UNC. Obviously, slightly weird college career, shall we say, but prototypical height, weight, speed guy. Are you a Walker believer, or are you looking to avoid him?
Not necessarily someone that I'm looking to avoid. I might not be quite to the levels of what you are with Tez Walker, but I can definitely see the upside there with him. As you mentioned, he's had a bit of a crazy start to his, well, throughout his college career, really. And when he came into college, there was all the trouble over in North Carolina Central, where he had to transfer over to Kent State because there was the COVID season that he missed, and then went to Kent State, had a couple of years there, and then went over to North Carolina. Nearly didn't even get to see him play this year because of all the controversy that happened, and with the fact that it would have been a two-time transfer. So we actually ended up being quite lucky to actually get to see this 2023 season out of him. But when he get the opportunity to play, again, showing that huge upside that he's got, the big playability. We know about the elite speed. We saw it at the NFL Combine, ran a really good 40 time. Was it like a 4.36, I think? So showing that elite speed that he's got. And when you do watch the tape, that's the first thing that stands out to me. He can easily burn past these cornerbacks. Obviously, it's a different transition going from college football to the NFL, but if he can capitalize on that speed and maybe develop a little bit further as a prospect as well, because as you mentioned, with the up and down college career and the fact that he didn't really get too many looks in high school as well. I think he had about 48 receptions in high school. So you talk about the overall combination of how many receptions he's had through high school and college, it's like 150 catches. So it's not a huge amount. I definitely think there's room for improvement, things that he can work on, obviously still pretty raw as a prospect. So I think overall the ceiling and the excitement around him is definitely something that can draw me in when it comes to rookie drafts, because I think you can get him later on in your rookie drafts. But as I say, there's still a little bit of work, I think, with Tez Walker. Somebody I'd like to see sit behind maybe a more established wide receiver, learn a little bit more to his game, maybe expand on that route tree and the route running ability that he's got. But I think the ceiling's definitely there. It's just maybe we will have to be a little bit patient when it comes to Tez Walker.
Yeah, it's funny because I think I definitely have a type when it comes to wide receivers, and Tez Walker's exactly not that. You know, I normally try and avoid those height, weight, speed freaks that don't have the route run ability and that kind of thing. But I think he's kind of got a bit of a bad rap. I think that he had a horrendous Senior Bowl week, and that's kind of the story on him. And I think people are saying, he's got bad hands, he can't catch, he's not good route running. And yeah, he's not, but I think that he can do enough to be relevant. I think, you know, we look at a guy like, I feel like I say about this about every underdeveloped big-bodied outside receiver, but you look at DK Metcalf. He came in and basically ran three routes in his rookie season, and I think Tez Walker could do that. I think he's fantastic at the contested catch ability. I think, you know, 18 touchdowns in 20 games the last two seasons, like that carries. And I think that he's the kind of guy that can be that downfield X who tracks the ball incredibly well, can go up and get it over smaller corners, but can also be a threat in the red zone. And I think that has value, and that's the kind of guy that isn't going to need 130 touches and targets to be a really good, useful fantasy weapon. He could be fantasy relevant on 70, 80 targets. And as you said, hopefully, if he continues to develop, he could be more than that. So I think he's got more about him than the usual. He's a big, fast X receiver that hasn't done much. You know, you look at, you know, 900 yards in 12 games at Kent State, almost 700 yards in 8 games with UNC. And I think that there's more to him than just that big bodied outside deep receiver. So, yeah, I think it I'm going to say this with all of these guys, it depends on that draft capital. But I think that he's the kind of guy that could be forgotten about because people are going to hang on to that bad Senior Bowl, who could actually be really good value in that sort of third, fourth round of rookie drafts. Definitely. We're going to move across to the running back position now, though. I think talk about one of your more favoured guys, Kamani Vidal. Yeah. He is a wrecking ball, ball of energy, out of Troy, 5'8", 218 pounds. Phenomenal vision, but is he got the bulk, got the size that he can carry the ball 10, 15, maybe even 20 times a game?
I think he does. I mean, if you look at his college stats, he's proven that he can be a workhorse, can handle a large workload. And as you mentioned, we spoke about my favorite wide receiver a little bit earlier on the show. This is definitely my favorite running back in this class out of the sleeper running backs. I mean, we're calling him a sleeper, but I've got him as high as my RB7 in my ranking. So definitely a guy that I'm really high on this coming into this year. As you mentioned, the size is, while he's short in terms, he's only 5'7", but he's 213 pounds. He's like a little wrecking ball. He bulldozes through plays. As you mentioned, got that great vision, but he's also not afraid to use that weight and run through defenders as well. Fights for yards after contact. He had over 1,000 yards after contact this year, which ranked first in the NCAA, 3.58 per attempt. So definitely a guy that if you are going to try and bring him down, you've got to bring some force behind you, because he's definitely going to, if he picks up that momentum, he's going to run through you. And if he doesn't run through you, he's also pretty good at running around you as well. 94 missed tackles, which was first by a considerable amount again in the NCAA. Obviously, there's the offset of the fact that he did have a lot of touches this past year. But I think he's brilliant. I think he offers things that a lot of running backs do offer, the kind of things that Vidal offers, but I just feel like the value that you're getting him at in your rookie drafts, you're not having to pay that premium to get one of these top running backs. And I know it's a bit of a mess in terms of where people have these running backs ranked, so I think you can get some value later on in your rookie drafts, because we don't really know. I think the NFL draft's going to play a huge part in deciding where we're going to have these people ranked, and if Vidal can get that good draft capital, I think he is most likely a day three back. Obviously, playing for Troy, he's not going to appeal to the helmet scouts. He's not really a name that's going to stand out, the fact that he has played for a smaller school, but I really do like it. People are going to put him down as more of a north-south runner, but as I say, I think he's a bit underrated in that lateral agility as well. Some of the jump cuts that you see when you watch the tape is really impressive to me. And then there's not just that, it's the pass blocking as well. I think, and looking at the stats, he's probably one of the best running backs in pass blocking as well, which, while it doesn't get you points in fantasy football, it does get you opportunities in the NFL. He is going to get opportunities to be on the field and progress and become more of a valuable asset for the team that he lands on. So I'm really excited by him. There's obviously the concerns with the lack of top-end speed, as I mentioned, that the smaller school, which could result in a low draft capital, but that just feels like more of a chance of getting him super late in your rookie drafts. And if he does land in that good situation where he does get the opportunity early, I'm really excited by him, Rich. I think he's going to be a great steal in rookie drafts, and I look forward to seeing where he lands and what he can do moving forward.
Yeah, I really like Vidal. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and I said that with the way this running back class is playing out, I would rather, if you need a running back, I would rather have 3 third-round picks rather than 1 second-round pick to spend on a running back, because I think that there are going to be players like Vidal in the third round who I'd rather have 3 flyers on that than somebody like a Benson, Allen, Jonathan Brooks, something like that in that second round that I think could potentially burn you. So I there's a lot to like there. Look, if you're looking for a late round running back that you want to take a dart on, you need to look, can he carry the ball between tackles? Has he got the bulk to do that? Yes. Can he add receiving work? Yes. Has he produced in college? Yes. He ticks all the boxes you're looking for in a late round back. I have a slight concern. It's a little bit annoyance. I think at times he does look to bounce runs. He is smaller, but he's got the bulk to carry it. But he likes being in space. And there are times when it's like, there's a crease there. And he sort of goes outside, gets tackled, and it's like, if you just trusted, and it could be that, you know, he's playing behind a Troy offensive line and he needs to trust his blocks more and stay inside that tackle box, because there are definitely creases there time and time again. I also think in the receiving game, he was a great volume receiver, but he wasn't what I'd call a value add receiver. He was a guy that feasted on check downs and screens. He wasn't asked to run routes. He wasn't running choice routes in the open field. It was a case of he was a check down option, not a receiving option, if that makes sense. So it's difficult projecting that to the league. There are plenty of guys in college who have been nothing but check downs who become amazing receiving backs and vice versa. But he's got good hands. He can, you know, catch, can be a weapon, but he just didn't see enough of him running routes, certainly to say that he's a plus there. But I agree with you. I think in terms of a sleeper, in terms of that sort of third, fourth rounds, let's take a flyer on a running back. I think Vidal ticks a lot of the boxes to the kind of things that that I'm looking for there, certainly. The next guy we're going to talk about is a guy who's had one hell of a journey to get to this point. Ray Davis out of Kentucky via very many different places. He is a much older prospect. He's 24 years old. I was reading today he's 4.5 years older than Braylon Allen, which sounds absolutely wild. 5'10", 216 pounds. Are you a guy that's buying into... It feels like there are a lot of Ray Davis fans at the moment.
I'd probably class myself as a fan, yeah. I think I like the fact that he has shown he can do it all in college football. I mean, he's had enough opportunities, as you mentioned, with the amount of college teams that he's played on. But I like the fact that we have got that little bit of receiving where it might be a little bit like Vidal, where it's maybe a little bit more check downs rather than actually running routes. But I think he does have the ability when he does transfer to the NFL that he can be used in the receiving game. But I think his bread and butter is going to be running the ball between the tackles, and he's shown that he can be highly efficient when running the ball. He can show that he can handle a good workload as well. Again, a really tough runner. Short in stature at 5'8", but 211 pounds and really uses that weight well. Got that low center of gravity, which makes him tough for defenders to bring down. And I think the fact that we mentioned that he has bounced around a little bit in college and played for three different teams, that could be seen as a little bit of a positive, because he's shown that he can play in different schemes and different offenses and still produce pretty good numbers in college. So that's something that, while it's obviously meant that he's a little bit older as a prospect, at least we've seen that he can play in different schemes in college football. So something where we'll be too reliant on what landing spot he ends up at. Obviously, there's going to be offenses that we would prefer him to land on, but I think he's shown that he can work behind different schemes. So that's great coming into the NFL. And again, you mentioned about the transfer in. It's actually quite good, because he could have entered last year. And I think if he did come in last year, I don't think he would have got the same amount of buzz as what he's going to get this year, because he had that breakout year last year. Did well at Vanderbilt in 2022, but again in Kentucky, going over to Kentucky and again putting up really good numbers at the touchdowns as well. I think it's just added a little bit more to his game and made us look a little bit more at Ray Davis after what he did at Kentucky. So, again, I'm quite excited by him. You mentioned the age. He's kind of already getting to that age where we start to worry about running backs in fantasy. So we might not have a huge amount of time to have him on his rosters before we start to panic and think we need to move off him. But I think, again, he could be great value in your rookie drafts. As you mentioned, Rich, with these running backs, I think because it is such a confusing running back class where we don't really know who the top guys are. He's a guy that you could probably get in the late second, early third round, depending on where he lands and what draft capital he gets. And you could potentially be getting one of the top running backs in the class. So again, definitely somebody I'm looking at later on in my rookie drafts.
Yeah, I think Davis, for me, he feels like a safe, solid option, but probably lacks that elite upside that maybe I'd be chasing. I think, you know, he's one of those backs that gets what's blocked. He has fantastic technique. He runs well behind his pads. He runs, you know, with a low center of gravity. I think he has phenomenal vision, not necessarily just picking, you know, the obvious lane where the play's blocked. But if there's cutback opportunities, he spots them 9 times out of 10. He just doesn't have that one thing that he does phenomenally well that I'm like, yes, that's what he's going to do at the next level. I think he's like a good, solid jack of all trades, but master of none. I think he's not an elite athlete. He's not an elite receiving back. I think we saw him over the last year at Vanderbilt, certainly. The two games I watched of him at Vanderbilt, he was, I wouldn't say used as a receiving weapon, but he was at least getting out in the open field and being used a little bit more downfield than perhaps he has this last year at Kentucky. But I just don't know if he's elite at one thing that's going to say, right, that's going to get you on the field in the NFL. And I think that he could end up being one of those, you know, solid backup players that, yeah, if he gets a chance and there's, you know, three injuries in a running back room and he's going to get 20 carries because there's nobody else in the on the roster, he could have a fantastic fantasy week. But I don't know if he's going to be good enough to carve out a role at the, let's say, at the beginning of the season when everybody's healthy as such. So, yeah, I get it. I think he's a safe, solid option. But for me, I'd perhaps rather chase the lottery ticket with some of these later round picks, like a Vidal, who I think's got that, you know, potential that he could blow up. Whereas I feel like Davis, maybe it is slightly to do with his age as well. It's like, what's the best that could happen? And I feel like the best that can happen is like a 1B back in a committee. And I'd rather chase for something a bit higher than that. The final running back we're going to talk about, though, man, he is so polarized. I've seen people have him up as he's running back two. I've seen people have him outside their top 12. It is wild. But Orji Kesteme out of Notre Dame, 5'11", 227 pounds. He is a big-bodied, powerful, versatile back. But 4'7", was it, at the combine? Not exactly setting alight any weight-adjusted speed score fans. Are you a Estime believer, or you got that athleticism and speaking term?
Yeah, I'm probably on the lower side, I think, with Estime. As you mentioned, the combat didn't do him any favours. But I think when you look at his production, he's actually been a really productive back when you go through the college and even going back as far as high school. When he was in high school, 10.5 yards per carry. So showing that he can definitely be efficient with the ball in his hands right back to high school. Came in as a 4-star recruit. And then, as you mentioned, the big body back, is a bulldozer, is a guy that can definitely run through defenders. Yards after contact, 4.27 yards per attempt, which is one of the highest in this class. You touched upon the fact this past year's where I think this past year is the one that's really been the breakout year. You look at the fact that over 1,000 rushing yards, the 18 touchdowns. It's been a great year from him this past year, which has boosted his draft capital. I think he's got a fighting chance, even though he had the poor combine. I think he's a guy that could get into day two. And I think it's because of, as you mentioned earlier, he's one of those backs where you kind of know his role. You know he's that big-bodied guy. You know he's going to be that early down grinder. Doesn't really offer a great deal in terms of the receiving work. Not really seen too much from him in college, but you know what you're getting in terms of running the ball. So I think he's going to be a great early down back in the NFL that could be hopefully paired up with a more electric running back in a backfield in a committee. But we mentioned about the combine and how he had a bad 40 time. And I think that then gets him labeled as somebody that's not the most agile in terms of running the ball. But I think when you actually watch him on tape, he's actually a lot better than I think a lot of people give him credit for. They mentioned the north-south runner, the between the tackles runner. But when I watched the tape, I actually thought he actually looks pretty good in terms of the jump cuts he can make, the way that he can make defenders miss. I think he's a lot better than what people give him credit for. So I think there's maybe a little bit more there than what we do give him credit for. Obviously, the top-end speed, that's not his game. The receiving work, probably not his game. But the early down running back that I think a lot of teams are going to look for in the NFL, I think the NFL's starting to become more of a get that early down bruising back, and then that opens up the passing game for a lot of teams. We saw it with Buffalo for years, haven't we, where didn't really have a running game, and that kind of limited what Josh Allen could do. But as soon as you get a competent running back in, it opens up the whole offense. So I think Estime and what he offers in the running game is going to appeal to a lot of teams, and as that early down back, as I say. Whether that equates to good things for fantasy, I know we love receiving backs in fantasy football rather than guys that just run, because we get so much more points, especially if you're playing PPR leagues. But definitely a guy that I'm interested in to see what happens in the NFL draft, what kind of draft capital he gets, but not somebody that I'm super high and super excited on grabbing in my rookie drafts.
Yeah, I think like my rookie model really, really, really liked him until you add in the weight-adjusted speed score, and that brings him down. I think it was 13th percentile, and that knocks him, and he's kind of like fourth or fifth back in my model for me. There's a lot to like. I said, I agree with you in terms of I think he's a better athlete than perhaps people are giving him credit for. I always say that I don't count the combine, but it's almost like a red flag of do I need to go back and check whether I've analysed the player wrong? And you watch him play and it's like, okay, you're not an elite athlete, but you're an above average athlete. And then you see the combine and it's like, okay, did I miscalculate this? And I went, you go back and watch the tape again and it's like, No, I think he's a good athlete. I think, you know, I've seen numbers quoted that, you know, he was recorded running 21 mile an hour and stuff like this. And it's like, yeah, I don't know if he's a explosive athlete, but I think he's a good enough athlete to transition to the NFL. I think his agility is underrated. I agree with you. I think the receiving work is a question mark, but I think he's a plus in the pass pro. Obviously, you know, the size, yeah, the bulk is going to help him there. And you see the way he's been used in college. This isn't a guy that's had, you know, four or five receptions. This is a, you know, 20, 30 target guy every year of his career. And it's like, okay, he's not going to be a value add in the receiving game. He's not a guy that's going to be able to take, you know, a check down to the house just off a whim. But actually, he can be a reliable check down option that's not going to be exciting, not going to get solid, but he's going to get you what he can out of it. And I sort of think, yeah, he's probably not a plus, but I don't think he's a massive minus in the receiving game. And I think that I'll probably end up slightly ahead of consensus on Estime, because I think there's enough talent, and I'm always going to bet on a young guy that's big, that's got the production that he's had from a, you know, a decent college. And I think he's got versatility across all sorts of different schemes, which, you know, you mentioned the NFL is cyclical. We've moved to these two high shells to stop the explosive pass plays. So another safety's gone out the box. Linebackers are getting smaller. So let's go to a power back. And it's all going to come full circle in a few years and we'll start loading the box again. But the other thing that we've seen is that NFL offenses, it's no longer just a case of, you know, you think of like the Texans or the Broncos offense where it was like, right, 80% of their running plays are outside zone and it's all built off that. Every NFL offense now has to run outside zone, inside zone, gap, power, counter, trap. Like, you need to be able to run all the different varieties of run play. And I think Estime's got that in his bag. So I think that coaches are potentially going to like him a little bit more than it seems that the dynasty community does at the moment. We're going to dive back to the wide receiver position, though. But before we do that, if you've not hit that thumbs up button, if you've not hit that subscribe, go ahead and do it now, because there's plenty more content coming your way. So Roman Wilson out of Michigan, 6 foot, 192 pounds, absolutely lit up the senior bowl. Felt like it was all everybody talks about for 2 days. I've got some serious concerns. Are you a Wilson fan?
Yeah, I'm a little bit like yourself, Rich. I think I do have my concerns. Definitely somebody, as I mentioned, I kind of like these speedsters that maybe people overlook that think don't quite have the elite ceiling to the games. But I think Wilson definitely has some flashes where you see a bit of brilliance, but I do think there's obviously concerns with that as well. As you mentioned, he's got that elite speed, the explosiveness. I don't think there's any arguing against what he offers in that side of his game. Tough as well, really good in contested catch situations, despite the fact that he's not one of the biggest wide receivers out there. But I think he can definitely show himself as a great contested catch wide receiver. The route running is interesting, because I think he's actually a pretty good route runner, but the actual the route tree that he has is more my concern, because we know he's played for Michigan and we all know what that offense is like. That's definitely a run first offense. So you kind of look at the stats and you're not really blown away by it, because you don't see those high numbers in terms of the receiving yards that he's had in his college career. But then when you look at the amount of yards per receptions he's got, it's actually up there with some of the best. So I think a lot of it was down to playing on this Michigan offense. Obviously, we know Jim Harbaugh now going over to the NFL, and we're kind of already picking up on that the LA Chargers might be reverting more to that run-heavy scheme that we know he's had great success with in college football. But I think Ron Wilson, he's kind of been that hidden gem. And as you mentioned, at the Senior Bowl, lit it up. And I think we got that glimpse of what can be if he does get an expanded role moving forward and when he steps into the NFL. I think, again, because of his size, I think he is maybe going to be more of a slot wide receiver, but he's proven that he can do it on in the slot and outside as well. So definitely somebody that's versatile. I think personally will probably fit in more as a slot wide receiver in the NFL. But as I say, I think he's got a little bit more to his game than maybe we give him credit for, because he has been on this Michigan offense. I do think landing spot's going to play a big part for Roman Wilson. We just mentioned that he played for Jim Harbaugh. Could he go over to the LA Chargers? We know that they've kind of cleared house a little bit, so there's definitely an opening for him there if he did go over to the Chargers. I think that could be a great landing spot, linking up with his college coach. So definitely something I'll be paying attention to. But as a whole, I do have my concerns, as we mentioned, the route tree. is it good? We don't really know because we've yet to see it. And I think with that, it kind of could limit his ceiling, as you've got mentioned on that slide. But again, looking forward to see where he does land, the draft capital he gets, and does he link up with his former college coach? Hopefully, because I think that's probably going to be one of the best situations for Roman Wilson.
Yeah, I think for me, he's a solid low ceiling, low floor player, which is to me the kind of the worst player, because I think he almost feels destined to be a somewhat of a roster clogger, where he's too good to drop, and you can never start him. Yes, he's got inside outside versatility. I think you pointed out he is a natural separator. He is good route runner. I think he's elite versus zone. Where I thought he separated was he's clearly got a high kind of football IQ, and I think he's very intelligent at understanding defensive schemes and where to settle down, and that lends itself to particularly playing well out of the slot. And I think that could be where he does end up in the NFL. But I have real concerns about, I don't know how much value add he's bringing to the position. He's going to be reliant on how much volume he's getting for the production. And I don't think he's a good enough route runner running a diverse enough type of routes that is going to be able to, he's not someone, I feel like I bang on this all the time, he's not like a Deontay Johnson that's going to command 120, 130 targets. Okay. He is going to be reliant on being schemed up, being a featured part of the offense. And how many 6 foot slot receivers are a featured part of the offense? There's not a huge amount. So that immediately for me has alarm bells going. I think it caps his ceiling. I think that, yeah, I could see a world where he is fantasy relevant, but I think at the price you're probably going to have to pay, which I think is probably going to end up being a second round pick, there's guys that I think have got a higher floor in probably most of the running backs going in that range, or other guys at the receiver position that have got a higher ceiling that I would rather chase. So, yeah, solid, reliable. I kind of get why people like him, but for me, a player I'm probably going to end up avoiding. The next guy we're going to talk about, though, Ricky Pearsall. Now, if you like highlights, if you like guys that flash in short periods of time, Ricky Pearsall has got some of the best highlights across the entire draft class. Out of Florida, 6'1", 192 pounds, slightly older prospect, but inside, outside, versatility. He absolutely blew up the combine, elite athlete. It's funny because I've said he's blown up the combine, he's an elite athlete. In my rookie guide, I wrote that he was a below average athlete. So I don't think that it translates that athleticism onto the field. So, yeah, that's a real concern. I'm due to go back and watch him later in the week. So, yeah, that's definitely a player I want to reevaluate. But are you a Pearsall believer?
I'm not, to be honest with you. He's not really a guy that I'm super excited about. But as you mentioned, there's a reason why, if you go on Twitter or X, whatever you call it nowadays, there's a reason why he's becoming a bit of a darling over there. And it's for the reasons you mentioned. You go on YouTube and you search his highlights, and he has got some of the best highlights, I think, out of all the wide receivers in this class. He's a highlight reel on legs, to be honest. But for me personally, I think when you start digging more into it and starting looking more of it on a per game basis, I'm not wild by him, to be honest. As we know, he's got the flash in him, but I just don't think he's consistent enough for me to get super excited about. You mentioned the athleticism that he does have is obviously appealing in terms of what he can do when he's got a pair of shorts on running at the combine. But when you look at him on the football field, I think it's a little bit different. For a guy that has that kind of athleticism, that kind of speed that he showed in his 40 time, he's not really somebody that can separate a great deal when you're watching him on tape. He's great at the contested catches. That's why he's got these highlight reel catches all over the place. But he really struggles to get that separation. So maybe that's down to how good he is at actually running his routes. I think he is a pretty good route runner, but there's just something about him that I'm not quite sold on. I just don't think it's going to translate when he moves over to the NFL. He's got great hands, shown he can be versatile, and played about half his slots, half of his routes in the slot, half of them outside. So it can be shown that he can move all across the field, but I just don't quite see it with him, to be honest. I think he's definitely somebody that we're going to get those glimpses throughout his NFL career, and who knows, maybe he could land in a situation where he gets early opportunity and he can build on an early opportunity. But for me, I just can't see him making that transition over to the NFL. He's not somebody I'm actively going to target. As we mentioned earlier on with somebody like a Roman Wilson, I'd rather take a running back, I think, at where you're likely going to have to draft him because of all the hype around him, because of all these highlight reel caches that you see. I think that's only going to elevate his price that you're going to have to pay in your rookie draft. So probably not somebody I'm actively looking to grab, but if he does manage to fall to, I don't know, the late third, maybe early fourth in my rookie drafts, yeah, I don't mind taking a shot on him, but overall not somebody that I'm willing to reach on like some of the other guys we mentioned a little bit earlier.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's, you know, for me, a limited ceiling. I think I can basically copy and paste everything I said about last receiver in terms of I don't think he's a natural route runner that's going to command volume. And I think he's going to almost need to be schemed up. You see, he's never had over a 22% targets per route run rate. I don't feel that he's going to be a guy that's going to command 100 plus targets a year. He will probably have some good weeks. He will probably have some flash plays. But for me, I think he's destined to be that roster clogger, that, you know, wide receiver 2-3 for an NFL offense that you kind of feel like you have to roster in Dynasty, but I don't think you're ever going to get excited to start. So I also have real concerns about his get-off. And I know there's some film released today of him running routes with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and he looked phenomenal. But a corner gets hands on him too easily, too often. I think he'd almost need that free release to get schemed up. And it's difficult to pencil that in. You know, he's not going to be Tyreek Hill that you're going to make the focal point of an offense and scheme up free releases consistently. So yeah, I'd rather just avoid him and look at other guys. But Matt, we are here, we talk sleepers, we talk through some guys. I want to know who else, digging even deeper, we're talking fourth round, fifth round, undrafted free agents. Who are some names that you want to keep an eye out as we're approaching those rookie drafts?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's definitely one guy that I've got to talk about. I know you have my good friend Ali on, and he gave a little hint that I kind of pushed him over to this guy to have another look at. It's Benson at the tight end out of Kansas State. He's a guy that I'm really interested in. I think in terms of where I've got him ranked compared to the consensus, I'm probably higher on him. I've got him up as my tight end 3, and I think he really impressed me because he's somebody that's continued to progress in his college career, now comes into the NFL after his best season to date. Tight end, it's becoming more of a desirable asset, I think, in fantasy football. For years, it's been a position that we've kind of just disregarded in fantasy football. But I think now we're starting to come around seeing what somebody like a Sam Laporta did last year. I feel like Benson, he kind of fits that role of somebody that getting a little bit slept on, but could actually be a lot better than what he's getting credit for right now. I've seen today, actually, that he was linked to my Giants. I think I had a visit with the New York Giants. So that's only going to elevate my excitement in him and when he enters the NFL. So he's definitely a guy that I think you can target later on in your drafts. If you're playing a tight end premium league, I think you could still probably get him at this moment in time in the third round. That could all change after the NFL draft and what kind of draft capital he gets. But yeah, he's definitely a guy that stands out to me at the tight end position that we didn't quite get a chance to talk about.
No, I love it. I love it. I'm going to throw out two names for you. Jacob Cowing, I think, look, there's not many guys that play 5 years in college are over 25% targets per run rate every single year. He is lightning fast, elite separator. Yes, he's undersized. I just think that the way the NFL is going, give me a guy that can get open, and I'm really intrigued. Analytically, he absolutely pops. So I'm very intrigued to see what the NFL is going to make of him in the draft. And I think that he could be the kind of guy that people look over for college seasons. And then the final guy is Dylan Loeb, whatever we're calling him. Look, this guy is the best receiving back in this class, and it is not even class. He played 10 games last season, and he had 88 targets. Like, that's obscene. He could easily walk in as a satellite back, but we've seen time and time again, there's so many of these guys that come in as a third down satellite back, whatever you want to do, but then carve out more of a role from there. So yeah, if I'm looking for a late round flyer, that's a guy that I'm looking to do. But Matt, thank you ever so much for joining us. It's always great. I love hearing your thoughts and digging a little bit deeper on some of these prospects. Where can everybody find you, and where can everybody follow, of course, all the weather reports that are going to keep us informed when we get into the season?
Yeah, I'll just start by saying thanks again for having me on, Richie. It's always good fun to come on here, and hopefully we can do it again next year and maybe celebrate some of the hits that we've got today. But yeah, if you want to follow any of my stuff, you can follow me on X at MattFFDynasty. As Rich mentioned, I do weather reports throughout the season, which has got a bit of traction over the last couple of years. Seems to really help people in terms of their fantasy lineups, DFS, betting. Something that I think's a little bit slept on, people don't really pay too much attention to, but it actually does have a big impact on fantasy football, so you can catch that. Might start to get a little bit more into putting some more content out, maybe get back into writing a little bit more. I've had a bit of a hectic few months, but hopefully in a couple of months' time I can start getting back into that. So if you do want to check any of that out, just go over to X and give me a follow.
Awesome. I greatly appreciate it, Matt. Always enjoy hearing your thoughts and you taking the time. So if you are watching and you've not checked him out, go and give him a follow on Twitter, because he is a fantastic one and a favorite of the sanctuary. If you aren't subscribed, stick around. We will have more rookie content as we lead up to draft, and then Tom will be kicking off best ball season very, very soon.